the Continuing Education Committee meeting October 25th, 2019 at 7:30 to order. Ms. Poe, would you call the roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Brundage?
Present.
Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Dr. Malott?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Ms. Poe, is there anyone who has asked to speak?
No, Madam Chair.
So no one is going to join us at this time?
Correct.
Thank you. I would like to move on to agenda number 3, discussion, consideration, and possible action of the minutes and the approved continuing education requirements. Do I have any discussion on this agenda item?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes, I'm looking at the minutes. I don't have them right now, but I suggest a couple changes.
All right.
In the section that lists the licensees, we found them to be in compliance. It lists the licensee, and then it also lists the board or the committee member who reviewed the information. I don't think that it's necessary to have the board member listed. I think the key thing is that we made motion and approved that they have been in compliance.
Okay.
We can make
that's this kind
change.
Of a minor thing, but I looked at that and I thought, why is my name there? And I thought, well, I reviewed it, but I wasn't approved.
All right.
So I just think it would be better. I mean, that's minor. And then also the numbering, after those that are approved, it has the number for other people that had other licensees that had issues. And the numbering is not really sequential. I think it's the number of the application or the submission they did. And that's not really important. I mean, it's confusing. I know what it meant, but the key thing is we had issues with them. And I just think numbering or lettering would need to be sequential.
Well,
that's more of a clerical issue rather than a substantive issue.
Madam Chair,
Dr. Flowers.
A few changes and life will be good.
Madam Chair, Dr.
Right.
Flowers. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because the agenda had them numbered that way and we removed people from the consent agenda, in order for it to be consistent with the agenda, the numbering is, that's why it's numbered the way it is.
Okay, and I guess the agenda and the minutes are like next to each other in whatever book you keep?
Yes.
So
we really can't change, we can't change the numbers because that's how they were agendized.
Okay, if that makes, I thought that, but I guess as a standalone document, it'd be confusing. But if they're put together, the agenda and then the minutes, that would make sense.
Okay.
So I have a suggestion. Doctor, you know, if you read the consent agenda, number 3, the first paragraph, you can say Dr. Malott requested to remove number 8, Dr. Leo Munier,
mm-hmm.
number 5, whatever, Dr. Frank Powers. You know, put the numbers there, and then you don't need to put the numbers down, because then it's clear from the above paragraph.
Thank you. That's a great suggestion. We'll do that so that it clears up the difficulties.
And we will also take out...
And I agree with Dr.
All right.
I
would like to go first.
Sorry.
No, Dr. Malott.
Yeah, I was just agreeing with Dr. Flowers. I don't think it's necessary to put our names because the motion is for all of these. You know, we assign work to each other, but that's not necessary for the minutes.
Agreed. We will remove that. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? And thank you, Dr. Flowers, for looking. At this point, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I make a motion that the minutes be approved with the suggested modifications.
Thank you.
Second.
all of, and I guess we'll do a subset because it's part of the consent agenda, although because of the changes. So I have a motion to approve consent agenda 3A, the approval of the minutes with changes as directed by Dr. Flowers. I have it seconded by Dr. Malott. Is there any further questions? Hearing none. All those in favor of approval of the minutes, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay. Then embedded in the consent agenda number 3, we have requesting approval for those who've already submitted their information for continuing ed and met our requirements. Do I have a motion to accept that portion of the consent agenda?
I so move.
And is there a second? I second. So Dr. Flowers has motioned and Dr. Brundage has seconded that the remainder of the consent agenda be approved. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Ramona?
Oh, aye.
All those and not unanimously passed. Okay, thank you. I'd like to move on to agenda number 4, which is review, discussion, and possible action regarding those auditees who have requested an extension to submit documentation for the CE audit. And under this consideration, we have A, Dr. Winona Considine, and Dr. Flowers, you were the lead person on this. Would you like to discuss it?
Okay. Dr. Considine requested an extension of the time to submit the information for CEs because she had been living out of the state in Florida, assisting with her parents. And she said that she'd be returning to Arizona in October, didn't say which date, maybe it wasn't decided that time. And she was requesting an extension of time to submit the information. And that's pretty well what the letter says.
And yeah, I have no problem.
Go ahead.
I have no problems. I think we can approve it.
Yes, I agree. I think it's a matter we need to figure out. I think there's a designated or standard extension we give in these cases. Is it like 3 months or 90 days?
90 days,
yeah.
Okay, and that'd be 90 days from the date of request, or from the original due date?
From the date of request, so when we send the letter out for information.
Oh, okay. Okay, I make a motion that we do that, grant the extension of 90 days to submit the information required.
Sounds fine. And is there a second? I would second that motion. So at this point, and we have a motion for acceptance to extend the requirements for CE by 90 days for Dr. Considine. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Now we move on to the more difficult component of our committee work, in that these cases are cases that have been identified that they do not meet the requirements for the continuing education audit. This is agenda number 5, and as I noted, there's many more than there were last time. Obviously, these were the folks who delayed in responding back. And I think some of the issues are with their delay and also that the fact that they have not met the requirements. I would like to move to agenda number 5A, which is Dr. Catherine O'Connell. And I'll give everyone an opportunity to pick up her file. I noted that when I wrote this, I'm the lead investigator, and at this time reviewed her experience. The area that she was short of was ethics, and so domestic violence, legal and ethical issues she had taken before the time period of her license and domestic violence, intimate partner she had taken again before. And so she was short in that area. She was short in her total number. So at this point, I would state that, does anyone else on the committee have any questions?
Well, I'm wondering if she was wanting to roll over the ones from the previous time?
That could be, but she provided no information.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but then I guess it would be a matter of saying that it's, as you said, that is the submitted information indicates noncompliance, so she would need to show she wants to roll over, and if so, she would need to submit documentation from the previous time to ensure that she had enough time to roll over. Otherwise, she wouldn't be in compliance, and she would, I'm getting too complicated, but I think that would be the main thrust.
Dr. Malott.
My recommendation is, if they're using previous hours, this is how we have a lot of cases that fall under that they're using previous hours, but they did not submit evidence from the previous hours showing us that the previous hours was not used for the previous cycle. So
yeah,
what I recommend, and it's a little confusing, because we said you could use previous. It does say that you cannot double dip, because if you had extra hours, basically it was the extra. So, but I think we should do a standard letter because we have so many, and I think maybe it was a little confusing. So, but my recommendation is saying it appears that you used previous hours from the previous cycle. Please show evidence that these hours were not counted towards the previous cycle, which means they have to show they had more than what was required. And if not, then you need to do additional hours within the 90 days. And, you know, so they have the choice to do one or the other and, you know, meet the requirements. Rather than them just sending it back, and then we say, oh, we don't like that, and then again we have to return, we give them both options. It's up to them to decide how to do it. If I were them, I would redo another ethic just to be safe and resubmit it, so.
Yes, and I guess, again, we have a lot of them in this category, but it'd be a matter that she would need to give us the CEUs for the previous cycle, and then we'd count to make sure that she had extra to use for the current cycle for renewal.
I want them to show us. I don't want us to do all that count. I want them to show they had 8 hours of ethics, and these are the four extra. So I think the letter needs to be very specific. You know, they need to demonstrate. I mean, obviously, and provide the evidence. It was really hard to figure out which was counted and which was not. And, you know, so.
Dr. Malato, to really substantiate the number over, they have to provide the whole list.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. And so, and that would include all of their documentation, which means their certificates and everything. So basically, I agree. I think that's what we're going to do, but I think that it will provide additional work for them. Unfortunately, I think this group here has been the one that's delayed. So I think it's very important that within that letter it be emphasized that they do have 90 days, that they can't wait longer than
That's what that if we put the additional paragraph, and like, you know, this person's 1 hour short in ethics, if I were this person, I would do a new 1 hour ethics and just submit that as meeting the requirement, rather than trying to, you know, resubmit all 60 hours, and I don't know, it's very complicated.
They would need to submit the entire previous cycle documentation, but I think you're right. It's like I haven't given a choice. I'd rather just do another 1 hour course and be done.
Okay.
Yeah,
but that's up to them.
It's up to them, but then they don't have to submit the previous. That's what I'm thinking of our review process, too.
Yeah, they could be told the options, and that could be included.
Correct, but I also would like to indicate that this person had indicated she had 25 units. She actually only had 27 units. She actually only had 25. And then once we took the three out, that she was that short. So
yeah.
I think
that'd be another detail to add to the letter.
Well, we've got, I had some people who seemed to have difficulties counting, and also that some of the information just seemed kind of difficult. Okay, I would have to pose this question to staff. With the discussion that just occurred, are you understanding what kind of letter we would like to be sent out?
Madam Chair, committee members, that everything you've discussed is already in the standard letter we send.
Okay. So they already know this?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, in our deficiency letter that we send them, all of this is mentioned. It refers to what they're deficient in. It states what they need. It states that they have 90 days. It states that they can, rather than submit all the documentation for the previous renewal cycle, they can do additional hours within those 90 days. And it also states that they cannot use any of the CE they use for this audit in a future renewal cycle.
Okay. All right. Well, I think then it's just trying to figure out.
Oh, okay. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes, I'm thinking though, you know, the letter, it sounds like the letter that's done is excellent, but I guess it's a matter with the follow-up letter would be spelling out the deficiencies.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it would include that too, Dr. Flowers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
So I have a recommendation because I have another meeting. If we are noticing very similar cases, like this person needs to submit evidence, maybe we can be kind of a little bit speedy so we don't have to discuss it. It's 20 minutes. We did almost 15 minutes for one case. I'm a little worried.
All right. Dr. Malat, when do you have to go to your next meeting?
My next meeting starts at 9, but I have to get ready for it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So in light of some time constraints, I'd like to move forward fairly quickly then. And I think that Dr. Malat is correct that we have many that are falling into that category. I'd like to move on to B, Dr. Daniel Wasserman. Dr. Wasserman completed his ethics and DV 1 month after deadline. And so at this point, he does meet our requirements. However, there was that delay of 1 month. I was aware that normally we give people grace time, but I also know that he did not request it, and I was wondering if we should write a letter to say that we're accepting it. However, we do acknowledge that the ethics and DV were taken after the deadline, and that would be my recommendation on Dr. Wasserman. Or does the committee feel that he just met requirements and we do nothing?
Well, I think we would need to point it out. I'm thinking of the auditors coming in and saying we didn't do our jobs. But we point out the discrepancy, but it was taken care of when apparently he noticed the deficiency.
Okay. Dr. Malat, what do you think about that?
I mean, the problem is if we notice a deficiency, we give people 90 days to make it up. He went ahead and took the initiative, and he does explain it in his letter. So we would have told him, you're deficient, you need to finish it. But he's already finished it. He's kind of taken action, so I don't know.
I would be happy with just, you know, my guess is at this point we do give those, but when they find their deficiencies, do we note them in their chart that they were deficient initially and then completed it?
Yeah, we can do a list. Yeah.
Okay. I just would like to acknowledge that. Thank you for doing this, but you're still a month late.
Yes, but took care of the deficiency and done.
Yes, I'd like to move on to David McGuire. entry.
Madam Chair, committee members, this is Kathy. The rule regarding continuing education says in J that a licensee who cannot meet the continuing education requirement for good cause may seek an extension of time to complete the CE requirement by submitting a written request to the board with the timely submission of the renewal. So I don't know, did he submit a request for extension with his renewal? If he didn't, I believe you have to find him deficient and do a 90-day extend, give him a 90 days to make it up. I don't know that he can just go ahead and do it the next month.
I think in light of the fact that we've accepted this in the past and consistency, I would be comfortable if he took it on himself, but okay. I would like to note that it was not complete at the time of renewal.
Okay, and then we'll also, you know, indicate that he can't use that for the next renewal cycle.
Correct, but I also think that it needs to happen with everyone who, where we pointed them for deficiency, that letter go out to them and placed in their file indicating that this was going on, and let them know that there is a letter in their file.
Okay, thank you. We will do that.
Okay, I would like to move on to agenda number 5C, David McKenner. He submitted... there were no certifications for domestic violence in sports. There was nothing other than a description. So I could not give him any credit for anything. So I guess the request goes out that we need documentation for his certification, for the hours that he claims. Any questions or any suggestions on that?
I concur.
Okay. I'd like to move on to Dinah Reimer. Dr. Reimer, again, had 0 hours of compliance. She claimed to have 4 ethics in that, but working again with sexually issues and therapy ethics for March 18th, 2017, and again, this was before her her renewal period in child abuse, again, March 18th, so that they were both taken before that time. Would like her to document that. And or provide information or take them again. And I think that the letter.
Provide information. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That these were in excess. That these were additional hours that did not count towards the renewal cycle. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So again, ditto, ditto. And Dr. Lily Weiss. Dr. Weiss had 13 hours of compliance, but this allowed, two classes for our two seminars in the fact that there was taken before the chance. She had there's a banner that had no certificate, and she had preventing medical error claimed as a 2 units ethics, but provided no information that would substantiate that. So again, I saw multiple issues within this renal person. And we go on to Lindsay Buckman. Now, Dr. Buckman is part of Dr. Malott's review team, so I will pass it to Dr. Malott.
Okay. Dr. Buckman did not provide documentation from the department for teaching the fieldwork course, just the syllabus. And I would prefer that we have a letter from the department indicating that Dr. Buckman did indeed teach the class and the number of hours spent in teaching the class. So, same thing for she talked about course supervision, which I think she said fell under ethics, and to kind of document how many hours was spent in kind of covering ethics, under that class. So. I think the requirement is that we do need a letter from the department, because you can be assigned to teach a class, but what if the class didn't make, class got canceled? A syllabus is not enough. So.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Any discussion? I think we're fine.
Thank you. everything that Dr. Malott said makes perfect sense.
Okay, moving on to Dr. Messer.
Dr. Messer, again, used hours on the previous cycle. I would like to see the previous cycle, you know, the same issue, the verification that those are not counted in the previous cycle. And the next one is, so that's the same as many others we've seen. Justin Smith is the next one. So here's one that's interesting. This person attended a conference, and basically the conference did not hand out CE certificates. And so he indicated which sessions he attended. I really have a problem with that. I think we used to accept it before when we had level 2 credits, but now that we only do level 1. Unless y'all can convince me otherwise, if a conference does not provide CE certificates, then I am not willing to accept it because I know what happens at conferences. So, you know, people go, people leave, people come. It's not, there's no verification. So to me, we need documentation. Registration for the conference is not sufficient. And then again, teaching a class, guest lecture, he needs to provide verification from the department heads of the class that was taught and the number of hours spent in teaching the class, you know, so it was 3 hours or 2 hours. So, and again, if he's counting it towards ethics or DV, then the letter needs to say what topics were covered so we can accept it.
I am comfortable with that. Any further discussion?
Yes, that makes perfect sense to me as well.
All right, moving forward. Dr. John DeBoer. Dr. John DeBoer.
So again, resubmit certificates for each of the CEs completed. The print was very to follow, and many dates were outside the audit frame. I don't know, I had a real hard time with this application. Maybe you all have a more clear copy, but why did I have? So he attended the Arizona Consortium, Domestic Violence Ethics, he shows that. Please join us for the consortium. Again, was a receipt. He does. I don't know, maybe this one's
a Dr. Malott, I did have a chance to talk with Ms. Fox. Ms. Fox, do you want to reflect your observations on trying to get this information from the licensee?
Actually, it was Ms. Poe. It was Ms. It was Ms. Poe that had communication with him.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Poe?
Yes, Dr. Brundage. The information that has been provided to the committee was information obtained over numerous emails and numerous reminders that CE needed to be submitted, and Dr. Dunbar did finally submit what is before you, but it did take quite a bit of effort in getting that information to you for review.
Okay, going back into it, we get a lot of CEs from My CE for Less. It's very, very common for people to use this website. But this website provides very nice documentation on each certificate. You know, I've seen it numerous times. And what was very confusing is he sent his test pass code. That's what was confusing. And so I was going through each test pass code, and I don't know. Maybe I was kind of annoyed when I was reading it. So my thing is, this is not the standard documentation. We normally get the CE certificate. It does say that you have to submit the CE certificate. And so that's, I don't know. I want your guidance because I don't want to be.
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Malott.
Go ahead.
Looking at the information, he didn't really give what I think necessary documentation. For example, at the 16th Annual Arizona Alzheimer's Consortium Retreat, he certainly talks about what happened, but he doesn't have any documentation that he attended and completed it and how many hours. Well, so that's an issue. And then, as stated already, he shows that he passed different courses with the hours, and I see that he also could have clicked print certificates. He did not. And so it looks kind of slipshod. I think he needs to give the certificates of attendance, not just the what the training is going to be, the conference you went to. It looked impressive. Did he get more than just the handout? Do we need to know what he attended and documentation of it? Otherwise, this is not really acceptable. But we need the certificate.
Yeah.
Rather than, it's great you passed the test, how about giving us a certificate? And you click print. I mean, it's some obvious stuff here. The documentation just needs to be done correctly.
I would concur. In fact, this is the first CE that I've seen, certainly within this audit period, but over the last several, where someone sends in their test scores rather than the certificate. The certificate, you know, is provided. I'm seeing more and more of our licensees go through this realm because they can take it online at home. And it's an easy, I think you have an annual fee and you can get as many CEs as you would like. So I just have very grave concerns about the whole issue of this licensee. Do we need a more specific letter than the form letter that we had talked about with other licensees?
Madam Chair, Madam Chair, the letters are all very specific to everything you say in this meeting. Each one is individualized.
Okay.
So the specific deficiencies would be highlighted.
Correct.
I would like to let Dr. Dinbar know that his audit falls way below standards. And I would like that stated because I think in many respects it's chaotic and it's below what we've seen. It's certainly maybe the bottom rank. And I'm aware that we currently have him involved with our board and
we can't just Dr. Brundage, we can't discuss that. We just have to.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I just think that he needs to understand that the information he has provided is really substandard.
Okay. We will relay that in the letter to Dr. Dunbar. Thank you.
Would Dr. Malott, as a lead board member, would you be willing to acknowledge that?
Yes. And I also want to make sure that we include D2 of the rules. It's very clear that a course, seminar, workshop, or home study for which a certificate of attendance or completion is provided. It talks about a certificate, not that you just passed the test. Teaching a graduate level course, not his case, but I'm just reading it because we've had a few of those. A licensee who teaches receives the same number. I'm just looking to see the kinds of verifications, you know, that are allowed. So.
Thank you.
So. Okay.
We'd like to move on at this point, and again, thank you very much for all the hard work everyone has done. Julian Robbins, Dr. Robbins.
Okay, that's me too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh, use attendance and conference sessions, no verification or CE's document. And if, some of those hours were to be applied towards ethics. So so the same problem occurred there. And if they talk about the conference doesn't provide certificates. So the one question I want to raise, because I know both staff will get this, if they don't, if the conference says, no, I'm sorry, we cannot provide a certificate, then the person really has to go out there and do additional CEs, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Just, you know, because this question is going to come back.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any further discussion on Dr. Robbins? Would like to move on to 5K, Dr. Kenneth Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Let me get back. Again, this person is a carryover hours. We need verification that it wasn't used in the previous cycle.
We had quite a few of those.
Yeah.
All right. And Dr. Flood. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Malott?
Yeah, I think that covers mine.
It does, and thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like to move on to Dr. Flowers, lead membership, and the first is Dr. Megan Gavin.
Yes, this is similar to the other ones we talked about it. The ethics course that was counted was completed in May 2016, a previous cycle. And so, as with the others, we need to have the documentation of the previous cycle to ensure that the licensee has enough to use for the renewal cycle in question.
And I do need to recuse myself, Dr. Gavin. Sorry, I interrupt. Because I know Dr. Gavin, she's a personal friend.
Okay, so we'll remove.
Oh, otherwise, recuse? On that, but I guess the two of us can.
Correct. We still have a quorum.
Make the motion and move forward. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Moving on to Dr. Hamrick. She claimed some CEUs for the previous cycle, and as with the other ones, we would need documentation of that cycle to ensure that she has enough to carry over for the few she would need for the renewal question that we have here. Moving on to Dr.
Patricia Harrison Monroe.
Yes, I guess the hyphenated name threw me, but moving on here, there are, looking at the different courses, overall it appears most everything looks good. I had some questions, and maybe I'm looking for the input of the other board members on this. There's a course she used. It's on PDF page 8, where the title of it is Trauma, Developing, and Enabling Post-Traumatic Growth. And she's counting that as 1 hour of child abuse. It doesn't say child abuse in it. I guess there are times when if there's trauma, it involves child abuse. Would you all feel that that would be okay to count?
I think so. Trauma and child abuse, a lot of workshops that we've done in the area of child abuse has been in the area of trauma. So.
Okay.
I guess I respectfully have other concerns. In fact, we have often asked for additional supporting evidence to indicate domestic violence or child abuse. It's one of the more difficult ones to gather, and I guess I would be comfortable if we could write to her and ask for further information if she has anything that would substantiate that it has a domestic violence. It says developing enabling post-traumatic growth, and this could be anything from a military setting to first responder setting, which again would not be meet our our DV or child abuse areas. I just, this one I think is a little, to me, it could be a little bit wonky.
So I'd be more comfortable too if we would, if she could, if there's some kind of course outline or whatever to detail it, that would be much better. So, okay, and then, but we do have...
So is that our recommendation as a committee? Doctor?
I guess I'd make a motion to that effect, and I guess...
Well, I don't think we really need to take a motion.
Oh, we don't. Oh, okay.
By consensus at this level. Dr. Malott, are you comfortable with that?
You know what? I'm a little lost. Who are we looking at?
We're looking at Patricia Harrison Monroe, and I believe it's page 8, Trauma Developing and Enabling Post-Traumatic Growth.
Yeah.
And so although I think at this point that certainly trauma can be part of DV or child abuse, it certainly, I don't know the direction of this seminar, whether it was first responders or more military-based. I just would like an expansion.
I agree with you, yeah.
Okay.
I was just responding earlier to the word trauma, so.
Yeah.
Okay, and then moving on, there's a course on PDF 15. She's asking to count despair, disparity, and Me Too, reporting on women's mental health at ethics. And again, I don't, I mean, it's certainly an area of, well, it's a huge area right now, a topic. I don't know it's ethics, though.
Well,
what page are you on?
Go ahead.
What page?
Oh, it's 15.
I'm having a hard time finding pages, too.
Let's see here. It's part of...
Did she write a book chapter, or was the journal article?
Actually, she was at a... She was a presenter at a meeting, and she actually gave a presentation there on that. You know, where it says despair, disparity, and slash tag Me Too, reporting on women's mental health. And apparently, she gave a 1.3-hour presentation on that.
I guess I would be comfortable for additional documentation. It certainly seems that that would be more appropriate for DV or child abuse in more than abuse victim status. But at this point, I don't know how it's how she presented it. I wonder if she has some kind of outline or something that could verify that it had ethical information.
I would be comfortable with that. I mean, it'd be like... She was a speaker, so she should have some information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the, you know, if those things are, well, those are the areas, and, you know, those two items were removed, then she wouldn't have enough ethics and DV. She would be a little bit shy.
Okay.
I believe I counted for ethics right now, she has 2.75 hours, and then... The DV would be 3.5. So it should be deficient, like a half an hour for DV and then an hour and a quarter for ethics.
All right.
So I guess with
would
the
you like to...
additional information on for those two areas, for those two courses that she attended.
Correct.
One that she presented, one that she attended.
I'd like to move on to Dr. Wendy Nickerson. And Dr. Flowers, this is your lead case, your lead member.
Okay. With this one, there are a number of issues. She did, there's a course she said that she attended, let's see, called Codes of Healing. 8 hours, and she apparently requested, there's an email message saying that she requested a copy or a certificate from attending it, like an 8 hours course on healing. I see, and then that the she received a response that she didn't have the certificate within several weeks. That was about a month ago. We didn't really get that certificate. I think that's needed. And the ethics and the domestic violence CEs that she completed were after the cycle, but she did complete them in 2019. But again, strictly speaking, she wasn't in compliance, but she did make up for it. And I did see that there's like 4 hours that she completed or submitted that looked acceptable. She was a speaker at a meeting or conference training, and she counted 2 hours for that. And then she went to a training on energy, but energy related to mental health. So that was 2 hours. So right now I see 4 countable hours within the cycle. But then, as I mentioned, the domestic violence and the other one, ethics completed after the cycle, be additional 4 hours. And then we would need to get that certificate for the course that she said she did, but we don't have yet. So, but strictly speaking, within, I'm getting too verbose here. She didn't have enough hours totally either. She was short on that, but the hours that she took after the cycle, or the DV and the ethics, that would be adequate to get her up to the level she needs. But we would need the certificate for the 8 hours for that other course.
Correct.
So I guess the letter would be related to that we need that certificate, and also that she was efficient, but she did make up those hours for DV and CE, or should say for DV and ethics. And that would also take care of the deficiency in the total number of general hours.
Okay. Well, so and again, and what the first form is a certificate, and then if she meets that requirement, at that point we'll review and then decide at that time whether or not we send out a letter. I'd like to, any additional information on Dr. Nickerson? At this point, I'd like to go to agenda number 5P. I do need to recuse myself, so Dr. Flowers, you are the lead person, and you will have to move forward and present it.
Okay, this is on Dr. Beaver, and as with a lot of other people, he wanted to use the EEs from the previous cycle. We would need documentation of that previous cycle to ensure that he does have the hours needed to go to the current cycle for renewal. But that was basically it. It was only like 3.5 hours totally needed, and 1 hour ethics, 1 hour DV, but we need to see the documentation.
Okay.
And I guess Dr. Malott agrees?
Yes, I do agree.
So that would be two of us, or if she does.
All right. So at this point, we've reviewed completely agenda number 5 and all of the licensees who have had questions regarding their continuing education audit. I do believe that we need a motion. What I would like to do, and I think it's more a procedural question, I would like to accept this with the understanding that I have recused from Dr. William Beaver and Dr. Malott has recused from
Dr. Gavin.
So how normally if someone's recused, you want someone else. However, I think because our committee is so small, what is the procedural issue at that point?
This is Jennifer. Jean is not present. So I think if we want to make go ahead, Kathy.
Madam Chair, committee members, this is Kathy. What we normally do with like ARC and CBA is They just, the motion is made, and because you've already recused yourself, the minutes show like a vote of 2-0 for the ones with recusals. That's what the minutes will show, that you've, in the vote, you're not voting for Gavin, or Dr. Malott's not voting for Dr. Gavin, and Dr. Brundage is not voting for Dr. Beaver. So those two will be separated in the minutes as a 2-0 vote, and the rest will be 3-0 votes.
I like that idea. I'm wondering if it would be cleaner just to remove them from that agenda and then vote on them specifically, rather than just say 2-1, where we acknowledge that there has been a recusal. Which would be your preference?
I think that's a better idea, Dr. Brundage.
Yeah, I think it's cleaner. All right. In light of time, and I would like to compliment the committee on moving it up. I hope that Dr. Malott will be able to attend her meeting in a timely fashion. What I would like to do is take a motion to accept the licensees who've not received audit, except for removing L, Dr. Megan Galvin, and P, Dr. William Beaver, and they would be removed from this vote. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Second.
Okay, so motion second. Any need for further discussion? It's been motioned by Dr. Brundage, seconded by Dr. Flowers, that the review of the licensees who have not met requirements have further documentation, are required further documentation. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, motion carries. Would like to then address Dr. Megan Gavin. I am aware that Dr. Malott has recused herself. All those in favor of Dr. Megan Galvin receiving further documentation to try and meet her requirements for continuing education. That's a motion. Is there a second?
I second it.
All right. We have a motion and a second that Dr. Megan Gavin receive continued correspondence from the board. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, one recusal. And then Dr. Flowers, would you conduct P, Dr. William Beaver?
Yes, I make a motion that Dr. Beaver also receive a letter in regards to the need to give documentation for the previous cycle to ensure that enough is available to use for the renewal cycle in question.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, I guess motion carries with one recusal.
Perfect. All right. I would like to move on to agenda number 6, items for any future meetings. Obviously, there will be an importance for us to meet again to review the second round of folks who have not met our requirements. Is there any additional information that you would like to gain at this time?
None, but I also want to thank the board staff for the huge amount of work they've done in this process so far, and I guess there's still more to come.
I would also commend staff. They've done an incredible job. You guys rock. I would also like to extend the commendations to the committee. I apologize for the confusion of dates. I was called to do something within the Air Force, and then they canceled it, so this worked, but you all are wonderful. So without any further conversation, I would like to move to agenda number 7, adjournment. May I have a motion for adjournment?
I so move.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Dr. Flowers, seconded by Dr. Malott for adjournment. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed. The motion, the meeting is adjourned at 8:24 a.m. Thank you, everyone, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.